This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I think it's a step in the right direction. I think, look, we're never in the position that we're just satisfied with where we're at. We're going to continue to look for areas that we think we can improve this defense. But I do think we made some improvement in that area, obviously with the addition of Grady, as an interior defensive tackle. Dio, I think one of the things that he does exceptionally well is I think he moves inside in passing downs and rushes really well from the interior. So I do think we have some options in there, and certainly that's like one of the main points of pass rush.
Mully and Haw, we've got Ruthie Polinsky in this morning, and you just heard from Dennis Allen. He is the new defensive coordinator, and I like that. That is my mantra of the line of scrimmage moves that the Bears have made, a good start. That's how we've termed it. I want to see him continue to draft offensive linemen, defensive linemen, get as good up front as you can. That's where the game is won and lost. And I really hope that they will continue that. I take the 10th pick sort of out of the mix of that. I mean, I know what I'd like to see them do, but I'm gonna give them the grace to do whatever they think they need to do, because you need to get, if there is like a special talented player, you need to get that player and then see what he can do. You don't need to force anything at mm-hmm. the 10th pick in the draft. And you need so much
right.
that you've got a lot of options.
There's no wrong answer. Because I think there's a wrong answer when you start talking about moving in the draft and who's available at that position. Obviously, there are wrong answers when you see who's available and who they pick at that spot. However, there are so many needs. If you feel like that is the best player available, you take him.
Yeah.
What's your dream scenario? Like, who do you want at 10?
If the defensive tackle from Michigan fell to 10, that would
Mason
be
Graham.
That would be my dream scenario.
Hail to the victors valiant. You know, that's my
keep singing that, because it's hail to the victors valiant, hail to the
conquering heroes.
Hail to Michigan, leaders of the West. Like, think about how the Big Ten has changed.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Michigan, not the West.
I know. It's so crazy.
It's so ridiculous.
I know, but it's the best fight song in college athletics. I'm with you. I think if Mason Graham falls, that's a steal. Like, you got to take him there. I don't know. Everyone was all mad at me yesterday when I said, like, I'll lose my mind if they trade up for Ashton Jeanty. If they draft Ashton Jeanty at 10, I will not lose my mind. If they trade up to get him, I just don't think there's going to be a need especially after talking to Eric Bieniemy yesterday and hearing the way he thinks about this running back class, at 39 and 41, there are going to be players available that can help your football team if you do want to address the running back position. I just think there are going to be too many good players that can help you in the trenches, arguably, at number 10 that could still be available.
I need more information on Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah,
I know no one wants to hear you when you say that. I want to clarify a couple things. He's like 5'8 and a half, right? 5'9 maybe. Like Saquon Barkley is 6 feet tall, right? Saquon was like 240 when he came out, something like that, 230, 220 something. This guy's like what? He's not even 210, is he? I'm just saying, he's not a bad player. I'm not suggesting he's not a really great player. I'm just saying, you know, there's a reason he didn't get a lot of Division I scholarships, and there's a reason that he played at Boise State as opposed to in one of the big leagues, big conferences. If he is everything he's supposed to be, explosive player, can also help you in the passing game, and
yeah,
you know, I just don't know if that is the
Saquon,
case.
Saquon's 6 feet, 227. Ashton Jeanty is 5'9", 216.
That means 5'8 and a half and right. About 212. I'm being honest.
True. It's like a dating app. You know, you always take like 2 inches off the men on the dating apps.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'm 6'8", damn you. That's super weird.
No, it's like, you know, if guys say they're 6 feet, they're probably like 5'10 and a half on a dating app.
Did you see they have new technology in baseball where they were measuring guys? And they found out that Noah Schultz, he's 6'9". He like gained an inch. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
He grew an inch.
Grew an inch, apparently. And Vonnie lost an inch.
Oh, boy.
He's like shorter than you think he is.
That's very representative of what's happening there. Sure. Yeah. Anyways.
I ran into him once. He was very short with me. It's just mean. I'm just saying there are Dustin gets mad about the idea that there are requisite height, weight, arm length, whatever it might be, because
I don't fit any of those measurables.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But I mean, I think that all those things are there for a reason.
But if Andrew Vaughn hit like 298 and had 25 home runs and 90 RBIs, you would look right past the fact that he was under 6 feet.
If he were a better player, I would.
Yes, but because he's not, then that's your first reason that he's not better is because he's not tall enough to be a baseball player.
No, I didn't say he's not tall enough to be a baseball player, but I do believe that for a guy who is a first baseman, he's an undersized first baseman.
Correct. You need a bigger target there, no doubt.
Thank you. So I don't know why that...
I thought we were focusing on his hitting, not his defense.
No, I was just talking about him as a player. But I'm not down on Andrew Vaughn. Even though every chance I get, I apparently take a shot at him.
You might be, you're piling on and you're not down on, you're just piling on.
Okay. Anyways, Ashton Jeanty. No, I hear you that I think there's just, the verdict's still out on this player. He could be the next Saquon Barkley.
If he is.
He absolutely could. And God bless him.
That'd be great. And I mean, I think the message, the takeaway, when you think about Saquon Barkley or, you know, the kid from Tennessee that went crazy with Baltimore, Derrick Henry, I think you better have linebackers to tackle that guy, right? Do you need great linebackers to be able to tackle Ashton Jeanty? And I'm not saying, you know, the other element is like a running back can impact the game right away. A running back can have a great rookie year and really help you, but I don't know how to feel about it. I'm not a DeAndre Swift guy. I also wonder about, you know, Roquan. I don't want to be mean about it, but that's a guy that was a great athlete that played was moved to running back behind a great player, didn't have a lot of mileage on him, and now you look at him, I just don't know what he is or how. I don't know how much better he's getting, and I don't know that he's this great inside runner. I just think they could definitely use an upgrade. But, you know, you said that you talked to the running backs coach yesterday, and he points out the depth of this draft class. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that I want to take a non-premium position at 10, and running backs are a non-premium position unless you are like a Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry or someone that can just, you know, dominate a game. And so you look, and there you might be able to get a guy in the second round who would be able to do the same type of thing.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be – I just feel like, you know, you need special at 10. If that is the – if he is the best, if we have decided that he is going to be special, it bothered me that he didn't have a great game against Penn State.
Yeah.
And he didn't. I want to be fair about it, but – I would never trade up for Saquon Barkley. Ashton Jeddah, I wish.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't get angry if they took him. He might be a great player.
Yeah. It's.
But
you
I
know,
would never move up to do that.
To the point of the Penn State game, and
too
someone,
many guys, too many good running backs.
Yeah. To the point of the Penn State game, someone did point this out to me that obviously Ashton Jeddah didn't have a great game there, but like you also have to remember that. The offensive linemen and the quarter, that's a tougher matchup for everyone on that side of the ball. So Ashton Jeddah isn't getting those same blocks and the same holes that he was getting when he was going up against teams in his conference.
That's my point about taking into account the conference he was in.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in one of the super conferences.
Right.
Had he done that in the SEC, then yeah, maybe you would move up. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be mean about it. I haven't scouted the guy. I've watched him play. I saw his career, but mm-hmm. I have not sat down and seen the tape on him where you get to see every. I don't even know what his failings are, to be honest with you. I don't know enough about that. I just know that the running back position is no longer a premium position. If he is flat out the best of the group and you got a chance at him, that's fine.
Yeah.
But there are so many good ones in this group. That's a problem for me.
Yeah. You just have to be so in love with who you draft at 10 because they have to be impactful in year one.
No doubt.
So that's really where I stand on that.
And I told you, I have contained myself to the point that whoever they take, I'm going to get on board and
of course
think they've done a good
job. We always
do. Because I want the new head coach to do well. And I feel like that's kind of his pick over Ryan Poles' pick. I feel like the 10th pick in the draft should be what he says he has to have or they have to have as a football team.
You know how those draft clips come out like behind the scenes in the war room and they like always come out every year? And last year we saw, you know, Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles like sitting here and Ian's like, you don't need to trade up, Ryan. Like, take a deep breath.
Right.
And like, it'll just be interesting to see sort of, first of all, where does Ben Johnson sit? Like, is he right there next to, I'm just curious to see what that's going to look like. What are the conversations?
He will be on a throne above the two of them. Being fed grapes by Declan. Yeah.
Oh my God. First of all, okay, you just brought up Declan Doyle before we get to Wani. That's hysterical. Declan Doyle, I got to chat with him a little bit yesterday. He spoke at the podium and then talked to reporters off to the side. But even at the podium, this man is literally like a mini Ben Johnson. It's like the mannerisms, the way he speaks, like it's actually like funny. Like I was kind of like, this can't be real. Like, are you a clone of Ben Johnson? It's so funny. It's very cool to see that relationship. And I'm sure it's just going to be, but like you said it when we were in commercial, like, imagine how they're going to be walking side by side. Are they going to become morph into one person by the end of the year?
If you think he looks like him and talks like him now, imagine by the end of the year when he's adapted every element of him.
Just like his mannerisms, the way he speaks.
He's not a little guy, though. He's not a smaller
person. He's large.
Because his father's like
strength and conditioning.
Yeah. You would think he'd make the kid lift a weight.
Well, he's not like scrawny, I wouldn't say. He's just not like super.
What did Ben Johnson say?
He can squat 425. I'll believe it when I see it.
Ass to ankles.
I'll believe it when I see it, Ben.
That's how he described his strength, which is very ridiculous.
That's great. So. He is a gym guy, though. Like, he does
Ben
work
Johnson.
Out. Yeah. He's
well,
like.
He looks fit.
Yeah. He's fit. He's healthy. He makes sure he gets his workout in. We'll see how that goes when you're 2-6 to start the. No,
well,
I'm just kidding.
I mean,
sleeping
the
at the
reality
office.
Is,
I'm just well, kidding.
When you're living,
dear God,
in,
when I
you're
hope
living
not.
In the building, you may as well use the gym.
Right.
Everyone
nice
does.
Facilities
coaches
there at Halas Hall.
Oh, Halas Hall.
It's beautiful.
It's turned into one of the great ones. It's
yeah.
incredible how much that place has grown from even when they first started it. It's
yeah.
just so it's so much better than it was.
You know, just a texter just inspired this thought to me that reminded me that I also talked to Dan Roschar yesterday, the Bears offensive,
yes.
the new offensive line coach.
I'd like to hear about that.
He is very cool. Like, I really enjoyed sitting there and talking to him.
Yeah.
And he had some very candid things to say about left tackle. And I'm just going to start here. Talking about Braxton Jones coming back from the injury, he literally said the fact that he is coming back from an injury is a setback for him. And there is going everything. He was like, you know, he kind of said, there is an open competition at left tackle. He's like, and then he sort of caught himself and said, there's open competition everywhere. You know, I don't think Joe Tooney is competing for left guard, but he said, you know, everyone's competing. But he did say that Braxton Jones, this is a setback for him because we can't get him on the field right away. He's going to be behind. So he's like, obviously he can stay sharp mentally and all those things. But he was very clear that, and I can't wait to ask Coach Wanstead about this in a little bit, but they need someone that can come in and be your starting left tackle. If you feel like Braxton Jones is not your starting left tackle, which he said maybe if there wasn't the injury, it would be more clear cut.
Right. Right.
But it's because of this injury, which is, you know, he said he's here all the time. He's working his hardest to get back and he's on track and all those things. But you do worry a little bit about just sort of the solidity there because the other four spots on the line are decided.
That is kind of it connects to what Dennis Allen said about a good start, right? They've done a really good
yeah.
job of kind of building the inside of that offensive line, which they really didn't have much choice.
Mm-hmm.
They had to do that. And yet they need to finish the job. And by that, I mean, I'd love to see them come out of this draft with two more offensive linemen. And I'm talking about like in the first five picks. Wouldn't bother me. If there was someone, and I keep saying this because there isn't the conventional left tackle that you would say that's the guy and you lock him in there for 10 years. There are guys that are playing other positions or played some. There isn't the necessarily monster guy other than Will Campbell who has he does have an issue with whether or not he will be like the best left tackle because of the fact that his arm length is – and that – I know
Roschar talked about it.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That
so Roschar talked about it. And I think it was Nick Moriano who asked him about it when I was sitting there at the table with him about arm length as
yes.
a general sort of measurable that Dustin cares so deeply about. But I think there's also a part of this that Dan Roschar was like, you know, I assume you're speaking of Will Campbell. Like he called it out.
Right.
And we were like, yeah. And Dan Roschar said, listen, I understand that that's something that is discussed, and I understand why it's a concern. However, when you watch the tape, you don't ever see that be an issue for him. So it's, yeah, it can be an issue, but it can be something that's an eyebrow raiser maybe, or that you say, okay, let's take a closer look.
Yes.
But he was like, it's really about the tape and what you see. And obviously this is someone that was playing in the SEC. Stop it!
No, that's
T-Rex.
I'm not joking. That's how
Clay Harbor on the Big Pro Football Show. Clay Harbor
like
calls
that.
Them T-Rex arms.
Yeah, they're like alligator arms. They're
bigger.
Guys.
I have a bigger issue with the fact that he primarily is in a stand-up position most of the time, as opposed to putting his hand in the dirt,
in the ground,
as I like to say.
Yeah.
That's my bigger issue. Worrying about if they move him to guard.
No.
If you move him to guard for the first year, potentially.
Yeah.
If you got to reset his stance, that
could be
an issue.
When you see the size of that guy, the idea of putting him in a phone booth, Dustin, so to speak, you know, he's going to do a lot of damage. The other thing is, he's got good enough feet that if you pulled him, he's a good athlete. He would help you in that way too. I'm not suggesting you draft Will Campbell and move him inside. I think if you draft him, if he fell, and again, I don't think he's going to be
there. Would you consider
there.
Falling B10? Would that be falling That's for him?
I mean, falling means ending up at the Bears.
Okay. Yeah. Because it was just interesting.
To me, whether it's Genty or whether it's Will Campbell.
Kind of feels like the Patriots may try and snag Campbell. That's sort of what
used
the buzz.
Used a cut this morning from Matt Miller, who was on the station. He's got him ranked third. Wow. Amongst the tackles.
Oh, really?
And he likes the kid from Texas the best.
Calvin Banks.
He likes him. He thinks if he's there for the Bears, that's the guy to go get. He's worried about some Will Campbell measurables like are. And then he likes the kid from Missouri. He's just
Membo,
that he's a right tackle, period, end of story. That's what
And you have one of those.
And you have one of those.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Now, why don't we ever talk about the right tackle becoming the left tackle? Or why don't we talk
Wasn't he asked
more
about
that
this offseason? They asked him about
that. Yeah, I think he is – I think that's a possibility, but I think that's someone that's had so much success there. It's like, why – don't fix it if it ain't broke kind of type – or, yeah, that sort of – I don't know. I think there's also a possibility that the guy that you're drafting who's going to have to learn how to play in the NFL anyway, to teach him the other side of the line may not be as big of an issue rather than the guy who's been playing that position for 2 years in the at a professional level. I don't know. I'm sure they can play around with it.
All right. We're going to bring in Coach Wannstedt. We'll run this stuff by Dave. Maybe he has a good answer to that. He's always got a good answer to everything. We'll talk to Coach Wannstedt next. It's Mully and Haw. We got Ruthie Polinsky in this morning on The Score.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Why don't you hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
Next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for David this morning. And what a delight. We get to talk to the man himself, Coach Wannstedt, joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dave, good morning. How
Coach,
are you?
Coach, I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you guys too, Mully. Absolutely, Ruthie. And I'll be in town next week. I'm coming in on Wednesday and then I'll be around town doing some shows. A couple shows on the Score. I think they got two or three set up, and some NBC and Big Ten. So it'll be a full week, but it'll be a good week. I'm looking forward to, number one, seeing everybody, and number two, doing a little Bears draft.
He's going to have that Naples glow, that Florida glow.
Healthy, healthy Dave. Hey, you're on with Grody, right, on Thursday. You'll be on from 6 to 9, I believe, so that'll be must-listen radio. Really looking forward to it. And, you know, we're talking about the draft, Dave. The Bears have made, you know, they've made a lot of additions. They've done a lot of work, not the least of which is getting a new head coach. And it feels like, once again, they have won the off season, and I think that worries you in past years, but it feels different this year. I loved hearing from Dennis Allen yesterday for the first time, the defensive coordinator, and he called the additions on the defensive line a good start. And that's kind of the way I feel about the additions on the offensive line. I feel like all they're doing on the line of scrimmage is just the beginning, and they need to keep at it. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's. I would totally agree. I think if we go to the offensive line first, and I think everybody needs to understand, just to make it in the NFL and play, you got to be a heck of a good player. And last year, you know, we signed a few players on the offensive line, I thought late. A few guys that really were kind of backup type guys, a few guys that had some injury history. And so, you know, Ryan was trying to do a little bit of Band-Aid effect, I think, to kind of get us through at that point. But this is different. I agree with you. I got a different feel. I mean, the offensive linemen that we signed this year were guys that were wanted by other teams, the young guys, they're really good players. So, and the defensive line, you know, the one thing that I think has happened in the last couple of days, or I guess it would be a week now with the defense, is, you know, Kyler Gordon, to me, is, I said this last year, he might have been as valuable a player on that defense as anybody. And then the guy that I talk about all the time, and I guess because he's not a big, big money guy, no one wants to talk about, but T.J. Edwards, I remember following him when I was doing Big Ten stuff, and he was at Wisconsin. The guy seems to make every tackle. No one gives more effort. I mean, if you ever wanted to show a young player and say Dennis Allen wants to put on the tape and say, this is the type of effort that we want out of our Bears players on defense, you just watch T.J. Edwards. So I thought those two additions were outstanding. The defensive line, it'll take care of itself. I mean, we'll see what they do at 10. That could be a defensive lineman. Who knows?
Coach, I got to talk a little bit with Dan Roschar yesterday, the new offensive line coach, and he made it sound like because of Braxton Jones's injury, that position is really sort of up for grabs. Obviously, the other four places on the offensive line are solidified, but left tackle still really feels like it's a position that they need not just depth, but maybe a starter. Where do you see sort of some of the offensive linemen at the top of the draft that could fit well with the Bears?
Yeah, you know, I'm not. I'm not as sold that is a dire need. I think, and I'm going to go back to, you know, Pro Scout. It's an organization that's been around since I've been with the Bears. Mike Giddings runs it now. His son's running it, and I had a long talk with him about it 3 weeks ago. And he rated everybody over the last 10 years and what the teams need from a color code that are winning Super Bowls. And obviously, you've got to have a player, a quarterback that plays in the blue. In other words, he doesn't have to be a blue coming on. You know, maybe Aaron Rodgers was a blue 5 years ago. He's not a blue player today. So you have to get a blue performance out of that. And then on the offensive line, that was the big question. And there was about four of us on the call. And you know what Gid says? There has not been a blue playing offensive left tackle in the last 10 years. Wow. But guess what position has consistently been the most valuable in the offensive line for Super Bowl contenders? Offensive center. And so I just, you know, Ruthie, yes, can we get better there? Absolutely we can. But I just don't see it as a top need for us. Third round, maybe something like that, I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't see that as being a dire need as maybe running back or maybe another great defensive lineman.
Makes me feel better, Coach.
Did that last year, Dave, took an offensive tackle in the third round, a left tackle, and we haven't really, you know, he's been injured and he hasn't been able to get on the field. I'll be very curious to see if he is contending for a starting spot, if indeed there's an injury issue with Braxton Jones.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but you know, I think that the thing that's interesting. Let me just throw this out here, okay? You bring in a new defensive coordinator, and you got an older player that's been around, like T.J. Edwards. So this, what I liked about what Dennis Allen did, you just don't sign T.J. Edwards to an extension. You could have used that spot for a draft pick or a free agent out there. So it tells me that's the mentality that Dennis Allen's looking for. And I'll tell you what, think about this now. And Dennis Allen talked about Kyler Gordon being able to play some corner and some nickel. I went through that. I mean, Darren Woodson was a safety for us and a nickel at the Dallas Cowboys. I used a corner Kevin Minifield when I was at the Bears. He was a nickel guy in a corner. So I've lived that life. But you know what it tells me? If he's talking about Kyler Gordon, he must love Kyler Gordon as we all do. The guy's a player.
Yeah.
And that nickel position is so unique because you have to be able to – there's no guarantee that it's third down and five and someone's going to throw the ball. So you can't just put a coverage guy in there. They could run the ball every time, and you better be able to have a guy kick them up and make a tackle. He's proven that. You better have a guy because it's the shortest point to the quarterback as compared to outside the corners that can blitz. He's proved he can blitz. And obviously, he proved he can cover. So he's a valuable guy. But what it tells me, by Dennis saying that he can play outside, he has studied our film. How does he really feel? Is he just throwing that out there to make, you know, because it's a possibility? Or is he not really overly sold on Stevenson and the other corner? Help me out.
Terrell Smith.
Terrell Smith. Is he not that sold on them that he's looking at Terrell Gordon or Kyler Gordon and saying Gordon could be a better corner than them? I don't know. And I could be way off base on this.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know you're not going to be playing for Jalen Johnson. So if you're playing corner, Stevens or Smith are on the bench. Mm-hmm. That's what it tells me. Dave, so on first and second down, you know?
What was your philosophy in terms of having a cornerback match up against the best receiver on the other team? You know, we heard from Jalen Johnson. He talked about how he wants to be traveling, as the term goes, where, in other words, taking on the – and they play some really good receivers this year, and there are some great ones in the league and in the division. And I always wonder – if that is giving away too much information about the defense you're going to be playing, if you're doing that, or if it's something you can get in and out of. What did you do in your defenses?
Well, two thoughts. One, when I was at the Bears, I had an all-pro, Darnell Wolford, as you guys know, a number one pick, and then I had Jeremy Lincoln, who was a fast guy. But we were a zone team. A lot has to do, are you playing man or zone? If you're playing zone, it's not important to really flip corners because they're either both playing, you know, cover two, cover three, cover six, whatever it might be. But if you're a man team, then obviously it does make a difference. When I went to Pitt, I had Darrell Revis, and we played more man. So I matched up Revis on the best receiver, and he took him out of the game every week. You know, when I was at the Dolphins, we played a lot more man. I attacked Patrick Surtain Sr. and Sam Madison, both Pro Bowl players. And so I didn't flip those guys. So, you know, I was more of a zone player than a man lock it down player. So with that being said, I was not into flipping them, except I did do it with Darrell Revis when we played man. I was at the University of Pittsburgh.
Coach, it was so cool kind of seeing the whole staff come together yesterday. We had our first media availability with a lot of the assistants and the position coaches. And it's so interesting to see how many of these guys came from different places. Obviously, you have a lot of former players, but you have really veteran coaches like Bill Johnson is, you know, an older coach, Dan Roschar. And then you have young guys like Declan Doyle coming together. And a lot of these guys, Ben Johnson hasn't worked with before. I think he brought, you know, obviously a few guys from Detroit, but really not a lot of them, which I feel like is sort of rare in this day and age. Obviously, like Flus brought a lot of guys from Indianapolis, for example. What's your kind of assessment of the way Ben Johnson assembled this staff and what the benefits can be of all these, you know, different coaches coming from different places?
Yeah, no, I think Ben's put together a great staff. And I'll tell you what he's done is, you know, he's let that he hired guys in the decision-making positions that he is very comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's going to do the offense, and Dennis Allen's going to do the defense. So now you let those guys fill in with guys that they have worked with. I mean, you mentioned Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson was a graduate assistant for me at the University of Miami. He was in charge of the dorm and making sure that those guys we had at Miami. He was in charge of barricading the door at bed check at 11 o'clock so they didn't get out on the street. But, you know, Bill's a great coach, and he is a high-energy, heck of a football coach, but he's tied in with Dennis Allen. And I use Bill as an example because we're friends. But you know, Ben has trusted Dennis Allen, and obviously he's got to make the hire, but he's trusting Dennis Allen, which I think is outstanding. And that's the starting point. And he put together the offensive guys that he knows. So it's a good staff. It really is. It's a big staff, but that's the way in the NFL. How many got on the staff now?
I think it's 28 assistants.
I love it. How about when I wanted to hire Ron Rivera and Michael, yeah, they pulled my contract out and I said, nope, you can have 10 assistant coaches plus yourself.
It's unbelievable.
Didn't Chico do
it? It's a lot of personality on the coach. A lot of personality, coach. It's fun. It's a fun staff.
Hey, Dave, thanks a ton. It's great catching up with you. I wish we had more time because I've got 1,000 questions. But
yeah, don't talk about the Cubs. It's baseball season.
Oh, love you, coach.
You're the best, right, Dave.
I'll see you next week.
Okay,
all right, Dave. Great stuff. We'll be talking to Ron Coomer in just a minute. But just a follow-up thought when we come back on something that Dave said, and very curious kind of thing. We'll be right back. Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
I'd like to be here wearing a Bears hoodie and being back in Chicago.
It's pretty cool. I can't express it enough just being back and being in the Bears hoodie. It's pretty cool. And it's just, you know, growing up and watching the Bears and rooting for them when we're not playing them type deal. So it's always been a thing for me to get back here, and the way it happened was pretty good. So I'm excited and I'm thankful more than anything.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Shady's back. Is that it? That's very, very clever.
It's
there,
cool.
Brandon. It's Mully and Haw, and Ruthie Polinsky is in today. And you got a chance to talk to everyone, right?
Yes.
You got a chance to
mostly. Most everyone. Yeah,
Who was the most obscure member of the staff that you talked to?
Is such an interesting question. I wanted to tell a story about JT Barrett. I wouldn't necessarily qualify him as obscure.
I don't know that
obscure.
He's obscure, but he's not a guy that you would think, like, I got to get up there to talk to JT.
Well, I think he's the quarterback coach, so I think people are curious about what he says.
He was
about
a quarterback.
Caleb. He was a quarterback.
And he was a great Ohio State quarterback.
He was a great Ohio State quarterback, a national champion.
Yeah.
And he is originally from a little town in Texas called Wichita Falls, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And Wichita Falls, Texas was my first TV market coming out of college. I worked in Wichita Falls, and it was, I believe, what year did he win the national championship? Ohio State was 2014?
Yeah, I think it's
okay, so
like
in 2015,
that, right?
I started working in Wichita Falls, And I worked for a man named Tobin McDuff. He was my sports director at KFDX. Great. At the NBC
station. That's a
Tobin McDuff. He's been there forever. He's the best. He's actually originally from Michigan, which is ironic. But he had covered JT Barrett his whole career. He went to Ryder High School. And I covered Ryder High School. And they were a very good program. I mean, and I, this was a small town, probably in the Wichita Falls demographic, probably 100,000 people.
Were there falls?
It's one man-made waterfall, and
oh
it's very
God.
Sad.
It's so pathetic.
It's very sad. It's market number, okay, so there are about 210 TV markets. This is market 147. Chicago's number three, right? So I started in market 147, working covering all high school football, all high school sports, and JT Barrett is a legend. I mean, he is the pride and joy of Wichita Falls, Texas.
Is that like Friday Night Lights kind of stuff?
When I tell you, I lived across the street from the big high school football stadium that sat 10,000 people, okay, for their big rivalry, 10 to 12,000 probably. It was their big rivalry high school football game. I mean, that place was standing room only. Like, it was unbelievable. And I look back on my time there incredibly fondly. Anyways, but I've never met JT. And I'm having this connection to Wichita Falls. Can't wait to make this connection with him. So I sat down next to him yesterday when he was sort of talking to a few people. And he was sort of wrapping things up. And I said to him, I'm like, JT, I worked in Wichita Falls, Texas. I know your high school football coach. Like, he's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, Mark Bindle. Like, I'll text him right now. Like, let's send him a picture. And Mark Bindle, his high school coach, got right back to me. And it was it's just a cool story. And JT was like, couldn't believe it. We were naming all these people and all these, you know, I knew the boosters at the high school who are, you know, have followed my career ever since. And I loved being a part of that community. I was there for 2 years and obviously graduated, ready to move on.
Did you send any video to McDuff?
To Tobin McDuff? Of course. I sent Tobin McDuff, first of all, was the person who I credit. I mean, he kind of gave me my first shot and really mentored me. And, you know, he was at my wedding. Like, he's a man that I love and appreciate
lifelong
forever.
Relationship
based
on your first shot.
So anyway, it was cool to sort of make that connection with JT yesterday. And JT's interesting because I hadn't really interacted with him. He's sort of a soft-spoken, quiet, obviously former player. Leans down. When you're talking to him, you feel like you're talking to a player. It doesn't really necessarily feel like you're talking to a coach. Sort of mild-mannered, not a huge presence about him necessarily, just kind of soft-spoken. And I said to him, I go, hey, did you see that throw Caleb made at the Bulls game? And he goes, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but I've been hearing about it today. And I was like, he was like, where'd it go? I go, upper deck. And he goes, see? And he walked away. Like, he just kind of had that quiet confidence about him. It was cool.
All right, we've got to take a quick time out. We're going to bring in the Coom Dog, Ron Coomer, great man that he is, joins us next. We'll talk some Cubs baseball. It's Mully and Haw, Ruthie Polinsky in this morning for David on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Don't talk about the Cubs. It's baseball season.